The question today is, what is the Holy Spirit's work in salvation? This is part number 4. We said the Holy Spirit moves in our darkness to bring us to the knowledge of accountability. The Holy Spirit is a person, by the way, a He. He positions us to receive light, and then He positions us to for the work of reproval, and then works reproval. Reproval is a word that's translated from a Greek word, which is translated 5 ways in the King James Bible. It's reprove, rebuke, convince, convict, and to tell a fault. And that's, of course, as the Holy Ghost convictions, what we've dealt with, is, and that's necessary for a person to be saved. We said that work of reproval, if we summed it all up in one definition, it would be to lay blame on someone sharply and sternly with authority, using the evidence at hand to persuade by argument that individual, bringing him to a state of being proven guilty. And that's all done with a purpose or intention of correcting the problem. Then we said that reproval consists of 3 things. John 16:8 said that when He, the Holy Spirit, has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. All 3 of these things are necessary for a person to be saved. And that's it, the Holy Spirit's work in man's salvation. One thing that man must be reproved of is sin. John 16:9 says, of sin because they believe not on me. If you'll notice, that word sin is singular. It's not talking about the sins of such as lying, stealing, drinking, adultery, and murder. God may deal with that. The Holy Spirit may deal with that. But He's bringing you to the root problem. And the root problem is sin, singular, which is unbelief. Because they believe not on me. The little word on in John 16:9 and also in John 3:18, where John 3:18 said, He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The word on in John 16:9 and the word in John 3:18 means to come to a point, time, and a place with a purpose. And that can only be done after the sanctifying work of the Holy Ghost is completed in all 3 areas: sin, righteousness, and judgment. Not only does reproval consist of a reproving of sin, but we want to deal with the 3rd one mentioned, which is judgment. John 16:11 says, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. The lost sinner has the same verdict as the devil does. And in other words, he's in hell. And the lost sinner has the same verdict. Thank God for God's goodness and long-suffering that holds back that judgment from an individual, giving him a space of repentance. And what that means, in a sense, is if Lucifer, who was the devil, who is the devil, was really the Lord's right-hand man. He was God's created angel, archangel, and most anointed cherub, even over Michael or Gabriel. And yet he got sin sin in his life, and he chose to sin. And as a result, he was cast, and judgment came upon him. And if God judged his right-hand angel, if you please, then you'll find that He'll judge you too if you fail to heed the light that God's given you. Judgment, we're talking about the reproval, consists of reproving of judgment. Matthew 25:41 says, then shall He say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. That shows us that hell was not prepared for you. It was prepared for the devil and his angels, but if man chooses to reject light, God has no choice but to cast you in hell, and hell is enlarging itself daily to take those that's rejecting light. And so, therefore, we need to see judgment because before saved, we're a child of wrath. We need to see that. We need to recognize that, and we must be reproved of judgment. And that wrath remains on us or abides on every unbeliever. In other words, I'm talking about a child who's reached an age, not an age, but a knowledge of accountability. Ephesians 2:3 says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past by the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we're a child of wrath when we reach a knowledge of accountability. John 3:36 said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That means it remains on him. So when we see judgment rightly, it'll back us into a corner of desperation and no hope within ourselves. And then the Holy Ghost will show you the door, which is Jesus, the righteousness of God. John 10:9, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall come in, or go in and out, and find pasture. Now, the reason for dealing with judgment before righteousness is because many make a profession after the seeing the judgment, but they have never had a work of reproval of righteousness completed in their lives. Therefore, they're not saved. The Lord doesn't save you to keep you out of hell. You may, I don't want to go to hell. God says, wait a minute, we've got to deal with righteousness. There must be reproval of sin and of judgment and of righteousness. I know the order in the Bible is sin, righteousness, and judgment. But many times people, all they've had is they're bothered about hell. And many times it's not even Holy Ghost convictions. It's just the fear of the judgment of hell. And they've never really had a reality of that work done in their heart. And folks, there must be a completed work of conviction. I've talked to some, and they said if a man's convicted, he can be saved. If it's complete, true. But you can be convicted about sin, convicted about judgment, convinced of judgment. But what about righteousness? There's the third thing you must be convinced of. About John 16:10 said, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. In other words, Jesus, this doesn't refer to self-righteousness, nor to acts of righteousness after you're saved, but it's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 5:24 says this, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. 1 Corinthians 1:30 said, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now the problem with the Jews is that they would not submit to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord. Romans 10:3 said, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, who is Jesus. So all three, sin, righteousness, and judgment, must be reproved for one to be saved. Now many are short-circuited by well-meaning preachers and so-called soul winners and personal workers who do not allow the Holy Ghost to complete His work of approval. Just because you see someone weeping at an altar somewhere doesn't mean that that's even conviction. That could be remorse. I know a man one time who was talking to a lady, a couple of preachers, and they said they thought they were going to have a bright profession. She had answered all the questions right, and they even believed right about salvation. And as a result, she was weeping. They thought, well, we were going to draw the net, have a bright profession of salvation here. And about that time, the woman said, I hope you will forgive me. I hadn't heard a word you've said. My dog got run over this morning. That wasn't a reproval. That wasn't Holy Ghost conviction. That was remorse over a dog. And you see, we don't know, but we must let God's Holy Spirit finish that work in all three areas, because that's His ministry. That's His job. What does the Holy Spirit do in man's salvation? He first of all, He moves in your darkness and begins to deal with you. He'll position you for the work of reproval and work reproval, and then he'll empower the gospel to you. Now remember, conscience and creation won't convict you. It takes the Word of God, the standard, the right standard, the Word of God lifted up to you. The plumb line salvation that we've dealt with from time to time. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, He said, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Romans 1:16 said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, it's not talking about just claiming the verse, but the Holy Ghost making the gospel real to you. And of course, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 says the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But folks, it involves the virgin birth, the sinless life, the vicarious death, His burial, His resurrection, His ministry of intercession, and His bodily coming back again. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4 said it this way, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that's the Old Testament Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. So therefore, we see the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection, but it involves all the Word of God. And you see, if Jesus wasn't virgin born, he would not qualify as our sin bearer on the cross of Calvary. If Jesus hadn't lived the perfect life, he wouldn't have qualified as our sin bearer on the cross of Christ. But we see, though, that the Holy Spirit must empower that gospel. And we've many times have heard it over and over and over again, and yet it didn't set home. It didn't reach down into the heart with Holy Ghost conviction because it was just word only. But oh, when it came in power, reached down in the Holy Ghost, began to move in our darkness and shake us up like those bones we talked about shaking, the same word for move in that darkness. Then at that point, the confusion, we begin to see it. And we realized our life was out of order. And we realized we had a need. And we didn't know what it was until the Holy Spirit revealed it to us. And that's through the gospel, through the Word of God that's preached to us. And I pray that God's Word will come to you in power. And that moving in your darkness that you're experiencing right now, and the devil's trying to tell you that's just the devil making you doubt, it's the Holy Ghost of God moving in your darkness, exposing your confusion. You say, "Preacher, you mess people up." No, no. I can't mess anybody up that's saved. The Bible said in Matthew 24:24 that there's no way a man can be messed up. In a sense, it said that the Antichrist coming on the scene would do many miracles that would deceive the very elect if it were possible. It's not possible, is what he's saying. So you can't be deceived in that. And so therefore, I can't mess you up. All I'm being is a light turner owner and trying to proclaim the truth of the gospel in specific, so you can measure your experience by what the Word of God said. It's not what the Baptists say. It's not what I say. It's what thus saith the Word of God. And if you don't have what God says in His Word, salvation is, then you're not saved. Salvation is of the Lord, and it takes the Holy Spirit to move in your darkness, to position you to receive life and to work reproval or Holy Ghost conviction in your heart and empower the gospel to you that you might be saved. So I beg you, let the Lord finish that work. Obey the light you have. He'll bring you to that place to where then the Holy Spirit will grant repentance and faith. And we'll deal more with that in the next part of this question. But I beg you, send us questions, specific questions about this, anything. That's what we want to deal with on this radio broadcast, and pray the Lord to speak to your heart and just help you in these days. Let you know. And the reason I do this is because I love you. I care. And I pray the Lord will bring you through for God's glory. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.